I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. You can find me at chrisannhall.com. Just let me remind you, go to my website today, sign up, and you will get my ebook, In Defense of Liberty, for free. If you haven't done that already, please do that quickly. We are going to be ending that campaign very soon, and so I want you to be able to have that book before we end that campaign for free, absolutely free. It is a collection of essays that I have written on the defense of liberty. What a beautiful day to defend liberty. My nose is a little congested. I don't know. I had this crazy allergy attack last night while I was teaching here in Missouri. And so apparently spring around the country is not good for me. I have to get back on my honey so I can stop feeling this way. I am blessed to have been teaching all week in Missouri, twice a day, every day. It's been a very, very hectic schedule. I do the radio show in the morning. I get ready. I go teach at noon. I teach from noon to 3, and then I try to eat between then and there and drive to the next city to teach from 6 to 9. And the other blessing that I have is that I'm not teaching alone this week. My husband has been teaching with me, and it has been a smashing success. I am, you know what, I've been praying for this for a very, very long time. My husband is a very good speaker. He's a better speaker than I am. He is a great teacher. And he has been teaching on righteous resistance this week. Perhaps one day this week I will have to interview him and we'll get that righteous resistance. Maybe I should just let him do the show on righteous resistance. That would be a whole lot of fun. But we are teaching for the Concerned Women of America in Missouri. And I want to encourage you to look at this group, Concerned Women for America. I love their little platform. They said, "We're the answer to feminists because we believe that women are powerful, but we like men too." I think that's awesome. Women should like men. Men are awesome. But they are not just simply taking a platform to make a social statement. They are highly politically active, especially this chapter in Missouri. I'm not sure about any other chapter. I'm sure they're all great, but I've never had any dealing with any other chapters in this chapter in Missouri. My friend Bev runs this chapter in Missouri like a well-oiled machine. She is, I don't know how that woman survives on the little sleep that she must have, because she is just on top of everything. Now, these ladies are constantly lobbying local and state governments. See, this is the real solution, America. Controlling your local government. That is where your power is at. We have to end this sick obsession, this codependency with federal government. We have to end that. It's just, it's nauseating how enamored, how completely devoted we are to federal government when we have really and realistically very little power there. Our framers intentionally vested the majority of the power in the States, because you see, that's where we have the power. When was the last time you went to speak to your federal representative and felt like they actually listened to you? They actually believed they were your employee. That doesn't happen very often. I would say it probably happens very, very rarely. Because the minute they get to Washington, D.C., they are fed, they are brainwashed with this idea that they are somehow superior to the people. The only way we're going to win back federal government is if we get our states and local governments back under control. If you have a school board that is constitutionally minded, you don't care about Common Core. If you have a city council, county commission that is community, is constitutionally minded, you don't care about Agenda 21. If you have a state government that is constitutionally minded, you don't care about the federal government. If you have a sheriff that is constitutionally minded, you don't care about anything, because you know the sheriff has got your back and he is going to honor his oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. We need more people like that. We need to abandon this love affair, this unhealthy, psychologically sick, dependence into slavery love affair that we have with the federal government, and start focusing local. The hard news is, with that, you're going to have to get rid of some of your local government people. And it won't matter whether they have the magic letter behind their name or not. Because I don't know, I'm sure you realize this, but we have a lot of those with the magic R behind their name that are engaged in this very unhealthy love affair with the federal government. Federal supremacists, I call them. Federal supremacists who will talk to you in such a way that you are inferior to them because they have this trickle-down tyranny, this trickle-down superiority up complex that comes from their love of the federal government. These federal supremacists who will look at you and say, you know, I appreciate your concern, but the problem is that I really can't do anything. Because, you see, the federal government, you know, federal law trumps state law. And I wish that I could help you, but these are the realities that we have to work under. And you know what? We have to work within the framework that we have. And there's nothing that I can do about it right now. We'll keep chipping away at it. You know, I don't know about you, but this chipping away thing is really, really annoying to me. I see a problem. I have a solution. I say, let's fix it. Let's stop walking around the problem and debating the problem when the solutions are right there in our hands. And it's my perspective that if you are not going to be part of the solution, then you are part of the problem and you must go. I often have legislators who are invited, state legislators who are invited to come and hear me speak, and they come because the constituents are so adamant about this. And make no mistake, Representative, when you are there, and you are there listening to me speak, and you don't like what I have to say, you are like a beacon in the middle of the room. Everybody knows it. Your body language speaks it. Your attitude announces it. And we all know who you are. And I just want to thank you for identifying yourself to your constituents as one who is not in defense of liberty. If you have a representative who gives you excuses for taking federal funding, who gives you excuses for expanding government, who gives you excuses for not limiting the federal government, then that person is the problem, and they must go. We've got to stop making excuses for these people. Stop giving them passes that result in the destruction of our country. Look, our children are going to pay the price for their greed, for their apathy, for their submission. We are the ones that are allowing them to do this, and we must stop. So let's wake up. Let's get focused on what's important. Let's get focused on the solutions. Let's get focused on identifying the problems so we can fix them instead of just mulling around and wondering what to do. Our framers have a designed plan. Yes, there was a plan designed in our system so that when the federal government goes out of control, we can fix it. Now, part of fixing the problem is understanding when the federal government is operating outside its natural parameters. Now, the problem that I have here is that, number one, we have to recognize that the party system is broken. There are no longer two parties. If there ever were, I don't know. George Washington claimed there would never be a distinction in parties, that parties would only exist to create a faction within the people, and that parties would be the destruction of liberty. I happen to agree with him. But I've had people tell me, you know, this is what we're stuck with. We've got to work with the party system. This is the reality, Chrisann. This is the reality in which we live. And we simply have to work within the reality. Anything else is just unrealistic. You know, let me tell you my motto here. I am not a go-along-to-get-along kind of gal. I don't think that we change the world by supporting and maintaining the status quo. I don't want to keep going in this reality. I think it's about time we get bold and change that reality.
Chrisann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know, I think that we have hit on something here, something that we can begin to adopt as a sort of mantra, a new motto. Because often I hear this when I say, you know, we need to get rid of this two-party system. Washington told us that the two-party system would be the death of the republic, that it is an enemy to liberty because men in parties become faction leaders, and then all of a sudden they start orchestrating the faction to create more power for themselves. And then power for themselves turns into greed and all of these things, and everybody clamoring for greed and for power instead of for the good of the republic and good of the liberty. So when you start telling people, I'm not going to be a part of the party system anymore, I am not going to vote the lesser of two evils anymore, I am going to stick with what is right and what is true, and if that means that I cannot vote in the general election because there is no good candidate, then perhaps that means by conscience I cannot vote. Because I believe by conscience you will stand before God for what you have done. And if by conscience you have justified a vote of evil to yourself, you cannot vote, you cannot justify that vote of evil to God. And so when you say that to someone, They're going to inevitably say to you, well, I understand this. I understand there's no difference in the parties now. I would love to burn down both parties. I'd love to just completely gut Washington, D.C., but that's not reality. We have to work within reality. And the reality of the situation is, this is what we have to work with. And in order to work within reality, we simply have to work the system and play the system. And, you know, I've seen politicians say, you know, I would love to stand against that, but we need to be here in 2016 to make sure that we have a presidential candidate that can win. If you are the one who is going to be picking the presidential candidate to the win, I don't think I want you to be there in 2016. Because I don't want a presidential candidate like you. I don't want a presidential candidate that's willing to just simply compromise our liberty for the sake of party peace. I don't want John Boehner. I don't want Lindsey Graham. I don't want Mitch McConnell. I don't want Jeff Fluke. I don't want any of them who are selling our liberty in the name of compromise. You can't compromise liberty. Liberty is a principle. Once you begin compromising liberty, then it's no longer a principle. It's just a guideline. Liberty is a gift from God. It's not a guidepost for government. It's not a bumper like on a bowling alley. You don't take it up when you need more space. Come on now. This is just ridiculous. When they look at you and say, come on, let's just work within the reality that we have. Let's just work within the parameters that we have to slowly change things. Maybe they'll even get all nice and literary on you and quote Ayn Rand and say, we can ignore reality, but we cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. Hey, I'm not ignoring reality. I don't like it. I'm not ignoring reality. I choose not to accept and encourage the current status quo. I'm not a go-along, get-along person. I am not powerless to the forces around me. And it's about time we wake up, Americans, to realizing we are not powerless to the forces around you. We don't have to accept this reality. We're not going to stick our heads in the sand and ignore it. We are going to say we no longer accept it. We are no longer going to support it. We are going to take control. We're going to declare we are not powerless to the forces around us, and we are going to choose to change that reality. It's about time, America, that the real Americans stand up and take back liberty.
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said,
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, guess what? Identifying where the federal government is out of control is key to identifying how the states can make this work. How we, as real Americans who are not making excuses for government, who are not wanting to continue supporting the status quo by working within the corrupt and bankrupt system. We need to really identify these issues. And something very interesting is going to happen on June 1st. I'm giving you a heads up so that we can get involved and we can get our congressmen back on the right track. We have to give them the opportunity to fix things, and when they fail, they cannot plead ignorance as their excuse. And we will be able to identify those who need to be eliminated and replaced with real Americans. And I'm going to tell you what, real Americans do not continue to fund out-of-control government, do not continue to support out-of-control programs. Real Americans stand up and change their reality, change their status quo. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks had taken the perspective of, well, unfortunately, this is the system that we have to work in, and it's not the best that we have. But you see, we can't deny the reality that these are the laws, and we need to work within the system to change the laws. What if Moses has thought that? What if Moses had thought, well, you know, this is the reality of the situation. I'm sorry that, you know, Israelites, we're slaves. We're forced to make bricks for the Pharaoh. And, you know, this is not the plan that God has for us. We know this, but it's the reality. So this is the system we have to work in, and we can slowly climb our way to the top. And really? Is that how we make changes? If that were the case, what if our framers thought that? Well, you know, this is the system that we have to work in, and I think that we have to accept the reality. If we just simply ignore the reality, we'll never be able to make any changes. We got to work within the system. I'm sorry, but that is what revolution is all about. America needs a revolution, not a violent one. We need a revolution of liberty where we break the status quo, where we break and change reality, where we say, you know what, we're just going to have a massive sweeping liberty revolution across America where we no longer accept these excuses, this necessity plea. You know, William Pitt the Younger said, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants, and it is the creed of slaves. I want you to remember this as June 1st comes around, because in June 1st, the Patriot Act will expire. Now, I want to remind you, the whole reason we accepted the Patriot Act was because we had just been attacked, right? Because the Twin Towers had just fallen, and we had just been attacked by Al-Qaeda. That's what we're told, right? Even though the majority of the bombers were identified as Saudi nationals. We have been attacked by Al-Qaeda. And so here we are, now passing the Patriot Act, which completely destroys the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures. No warrant shall issue but based upon probable cause. Oath or affirmation, particularly describing, and oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. In one piece of legislation, we destroyed the Fourth Amendment. The very declaration of our liberty that was supposed to remind us to keep the federal government out of our stuff, we sold it in the name of security. But it was going to be okay, because you see, the Patriot Act is going to sunset when George Bush leaves office. And because we can trust George Dubb with this kind of overwhelming constitution-destroying power, we don't have to worry because it's going to expire. Well, here we are. How many years later? And Congress keeps renewing this liberty-destroying, constitution-busting provision, even though they think we have a tyrannical president in the House. If you hear the Republicans in the House talk, you think that we have the worst leader in the world sitting in the White House since John, the king of 1215, the massive taxation king, the murderous king. You would think Barack Obama is worse than that if you listen to the Republicans in the House, but yet they still continue to give him power to destroy our liberty and overturn our Constitution. So on June 1st, we will see where our conservative House and our conservative Senate now rest their allegiance. Is it with liberty? Is it with the Constitution? Will they allow the Patriot Act to expire? Or will they deal with the reality that they have and remain in the status quo? Is that they'll work within the system that they have and realize that national security is a necessity and destroying your liberty is a necessity to keep you safe? Well, here's the funny thing, because the White House has said, we're not going to use a legal loophole that exists in law that would allow us to collect data and allow us to investigate without warrants and to detain people without warrants if Congress chooses to let the Patriot Act expire. Isn't that amazing? The National Security Council spokesman Ned Price said in a statement to Reuters, if Section 215, which is part of the Patriot Act, sunsets, we will not continue the bulk telephony metadata program. What is that word, telephony? They love putting Y's on the ends of things. Dianne Feinstein says bona fide. Is that the new aristocracy? Is that how you identify yourself as an aristocracy? Put Y's on the end of things. Barack Obama's administration is saying that if Congress allows the Patriot Act to sunset the way it was supposed to happen when George Bush leaves office, they promise to stop the national metadata collection. All right, well, I don't believe they'll promise them to stop, but nonetheless, they've identified here who the Republicans are. Will they let it expire? Will they choose to stop the Patriot Act, this violation of our liberty in the Fourth Amendment in the name of security? Are you sick and tired of knowing that the NSA has a... Here's the issue. If Obama continues to use the NSA, if the NSA still continues to do this metadata collection with the sunset of the Patriot Act, they will be doing it without a congressional law to support them, which means they will be violating the law. It sets up two things here. Number one, if Congress actually has the nerve to get rid of the Patriot Act, to let it expire. And the administration, through the NSA, through the FBI, still continues to work without warrants to do these things, then Congress will have the legal ground to say it's time to impeach some of these people. Do you know impeachment is not just for the president and the vice president? The impeachment is for all civil officers. That means that the director of the NSA can be impeached. that the director of the FBI can be impeached. That means that the attorney general can be impeached. The director of the Department of Justice can be impeached. All of these people who are civil officers. And if Congress will just allow the Patriot Act to expire, they can start cleaning house. They have the power to do that. And a violation of a law is the clear justification for doing that. But if they fail to do that, then they've just identified themselves, right? I mean, the bad news is they've already failed to impeach when they need to. Eric Holder should have been impeached when he was found guilty of federal contempt. Right then and there, Eric Holder was found guilty of a federal crime, and Congress should have immediately impeached him. The House could have at least had the nerve to actually pass articles of impeachment. So, why do I feel like I've just defeated my own arguments? Look, I just want you to know there's an enormous opportunity up in here on June 1st. And we need to get on top of our congressmen and say, look, you must support liberty. You must allow the Patriot Act to die. If you continue to vote to allow this destruction of our liberty, this denial of our right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, then you have identified yourself as the problem to liberty and not the solution in it. It's time to start contacting them and saying, look, it's time for the Patriot Act to die.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, the Liberty Champion Award belongs to the Kansas House of Representatives today. The Kansas House of Representatives has passed legislation Wednesday that will allow permitless carry of guns in the state. Constitutional carry of guns within the state of Kansas. Now, the state of Kansas is all on top of this Second Amendment thing. I'll remind you, the state of Kansas has already passed, I mean, it's law, signed by the governor, that there will be no federal gun laws enforced in the state of Kansas. Not even by the feds. The law is so bold to say that even if the feds try to come into Kansas and enforce their gun laws, Kansas will arrest the federal agents and prosecute them as state criminals. And now, the House of Representatives in Kansas passed a constitutional carry bill, 85-39, which will allow people to conceal and carry a gun in the state's limits without a permit. The Majority Caucus Chairman Travis Couture Lovelady, a Republican from Palco County, I'm not sure, argued that the bill will implement the constitutional rights to bear arms in the states. The opponent said the bill will have people carrying guns without taking safety classes. Now look, these arguments that these opponents have put forward are just simply laughable. Couture Lovelady says this is about freedom and liberty. It's about trusting the people of Kansas. It allows to carry conceal without a government permission slip. It's about asking permission from their government if they want to exercise their constitutional right. Carrying a gun is a lifestyle, and government should trust its citizens. Hey, government's always telling us to trust them. Why is it that they cannot trust us? This is funny, though. The assistant minority leader, Luis Ruiz, a Democrat from Kansas City, said that he was concerned that the bill would not be in the best interest of all Kansas residents. He says, we'll have gunfights. I'm quoting him now. We'll have gunfights. We'll have gangbangers holding guns. Really? I got bad news for you, Ruiz. Gangbangers are already holding guns. Because gangbangers are criminals, and they don't care about how many laws you pass. He says, we won't check on them. When we drive down the street, we won't know who has what. I'm sorry, but Mr. Ruiz, I hate to tell you this. That's the whole point. The government's not supposed to know who has what. And you know what the benefit is to that? Neither will the gangbangers. Neither will the criminals. The criminals will not know if you or the little granny down the street is packing. And if they're worried about little granny down the street packing, then they're not going to be robbing little granny going down the street. You already have gunfights on the streets. You already have gangbangers holding guns. But I want to tell you what. You arm legally, law-abiding citizens and watch this stuff fall off like dead flies. I think this is awesome. Hey, when you get a minute, contact those in Kansas who are in favor of this and say thank you for defending the liberty throughout the United States. Because you see, they are setting an example, and one state learning from this state. States all over the Union will now be bold to stand up and allow law-abiding citizens to defend themselves and help defend their law enforcement officers and the criminal action within their state. We have the power to stand. We don't have to work within the status quo. We can change our reality. We can live for liberty. God bless. See you tomorrow.